much as we warn them against not making a bad step this way or that, they still end up following our example. And so we want to make sure we have a good example. But a lot of times we as dads feel like we fail, like we are losers. We don't measure up. But I want to show you a passage in the Bible this morning. We're going to read you a little story first, but I want to show you a passage in the Bible of a father that knew what it was to win. But as you read the story, I'm sure he felt like quite a loser. And so maybe you're here as a dad today, and you might feel like a bit of one that hadn't won in a long time, or you feel like you fought a battle and haven't really won it. I want to assure you there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ for every father, every mother, every family that's here. And so let me read you something first. Recently, a dad went by his son's bedroom, and there laying on the bed was where the pillow was a card propped up. And it looked sort of weird, and so the dad went in and picked up the card. And as he opened the envelope, he read a letter from his son, and this is what the letter said. "Dear Dad, it is with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing to you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with you and Mom. I've been finding real passion with Joan, my girlfriend, and she is so very nice, even with all her piercings and her tattoos. But it's not only the passion, Dad. She's pregnant, and she said that we're going to be very happy anyway. I know you don't care for her because she's, 10 or 12 years older than me, but she already owns a trailer in the woods, and she said she got a stack of firewood that'll last through the whole winter. She wants to have many more children with me, and that's now one of my dreams, too. She's taught me that marijuana doesn't really hurt anyone, and we'll be growing it together and trading it for both cocaine and ecstasy whenever we want it. In the meantime, we're praying that science will find a cure for AIDS so Joan can get better. She sure deserves it. Don't worry, Dad. I know I'm only 16 years old. And I know how to take care of myself. Someday I'm sure we'll be back to visit so you can get to know your grandchildren. Love, your son, John." And at the bottom of the letter was a P.S. "Dear Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at the neighbor's house. I just want to remind you that there are worse things in life than my report card that is in my middle desk drawer. I love you. Call when it is safe for me to come back home." There's probably a few that resemble that report card remark in this audience today. But I'm sure that dad reading that letter felt like, oh my goodness, not only is my son a loser, I'm one. But in the end, he found out, really, you keep your focus right, you can really be a dad who's a winner. And so I want to talk to you about that. That'd be sort of the topic this morning. Mark chapter 9, let me put in reading in verse number 17, and we'll read down through about verse number 27. Here the Bible says, "And one of the multitude answered and said," speaking to Jesus, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." I want to give you from this passage just maybe three quick thoughts this morning about a father that really was a winner. But I'm sure through much of his life watching this boy, because this boy had this problem of a child. Seemingly all of his life he was struggling with this thing that racked his body, his mind, his spirit, and just seemingly ruined the entire life of this whole family. And yet in the end, we see this father come out as a real winner in the end. And I want to say to every dad here today, no matter how bleak it may look, no matter how difficult the task has been, if you'll keep your focus on the Lord like you're supposed to, like this dad did, you can, maybe you hadn't done everything perfect, you made your mistakes like I have along the way, you can still come out in the end being a father that wins and that is a winner, because there are young'uns that are going to be looking up to you no matter whether you're winner or loser. And so I want to show you those three things. First, let's pray and we'll get right into those. Lord, we thank Thee that You are a great and mighty Father in heaven, and we know we need to be more like You. Help us, help Your Word to find a deep, settled place. Stir our hearts today and help us to leave this place more determined to be a better father than we ever have before, that we might be a good example to those who look up to us and follow us. And we'll thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Three things I want to give you. The first is the concern that is shown by this father. It's a genuine concern because it reaches out to God. And when I read the verses about it, I have to sort of read between the lines a little bit. I notice the desperation that's in this man's life. This father comes, and I've read the story. It's found here. It's found in Matthew chapter 17. It's found in also in Luke chapter number 9. And in all those places, there's no mother mentioned. Now, I don't know why that is. Was the mother dead? I don't know. Was the mother alive and unconcerned? I don't know. Had the mother got frustrated with everything that the dad and the child was presenting to her life, just so burdened, she just checked out and said, man, I can't handle this. And I wouldn't be surprised if any of those scenarios were true. She might just be sitting at home in depression. Maybe she had no faith. I mean, the father barely had faith. Maybe the mother sitting home with absolutely no faith at all and said, if you want to go see the religious guy Jesus, help yourself. But we struggle with this. We've fought this thing. There is no hope for our boy. Our family's never going to get any better. But here's a dad that had just a tinge of hope. Maybe he didn't have a lot, but it strikes me that he's a father who is no loser. This man's on the right track because he's got a concern, and this concern for his boy reaches out to God. I'll tell you this much, it would help America, it'd help our churches, and it'd help your family as well if every dad around had a concern deep enough and strong enough to not just reach out to the preacher or the pope or religion or maybe welfare, but reach out to God. We're living in a day when people are not reaching out to God like they should. I think one reason this dad did is he is in desperation. He has no hope. He has no help. There is nowhere else he can turn. Maybe, and listen, I just got to give him credit for even in a situation where he is overwhelmed, he knew the right person to turn to. And so in his desperation, he goes in the right direction. You know, I read in these verses, verse number 17 tells us that one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. Now, I don't know how good a man this fella was. I don't know what kind of business he was in. I don't know if he made good money and provided for the family. I have no idea. I can only imagine that maybe he's just an ordinary dude. He doesn't have a whole lot. Maybe he hasn't got on Obamacare yet. He hasn't got everything working for him. He doesn't have all his ducks in a row. He's overwhelmed by his family situation. And even though he's not perfect and he can't fix everything, at least he's moving in the right direction. Well, Brother Sellers, what's the right direction? It's always the right direction when you're heading toward Jesus. If you'll just make a deal, not a deal, I just mean hit your direction as far as a deal goes, and go toward the Lord, I guarantee you'll be better off. You may not always win every little battle, but you'll be a winner in the end as a father because you went in the right direction. He went to Jesus. He's moving in the right direction. Many a father has thought this, I've got to fix everything wrong in my life before I can be the daddy I ought to be. If you're waiting to do that, you ain't never going to do it like you should. Everybody, listen, you might not be, I got 10,000 things I need to fix in my life. Maybe you've got less, maybe you got more. But here's what I want to do. I still want to move toward Jesus. I ain't got everything fixed. I don't have all my ducks in a row. I don't have all my bills. I don't have everything just right. But I want myself, I want my family, I want my children to know I'm trying to move in the right direction. This father brought that boy to Jesus. Now, I don't doubt he's probably tried doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists. He tried everything he could. Maybe home remedies, old wives' tales. He's tried everything he can possibly find. But nothing has helped. And so he moves to Jesus. See, this is how concerned the Father is. He's desperate. He's at the end of his rope. He has nowhere else to turn. And if the wife had deserted him, or if she's just at home and she's just complacent and doesn't care anymore, regardless, this dad doesn't give up. He doesn't quit. He doesn't throw in the towel. He doesn't say, well, I'm not like other dads, so I'm just not even going to make an effort. Thank God for dads who, though imperfect and faulty as they are still willing to show some concern for their children and their family, that they'll move in the right direction toward God. I also see here, and this is really interesting to me, I've read it in Matthew, I've read it in Mark, and I've read it in Luke. And I read there and I find some interesting things out. This dad seems to tell the whole story. It seems to me in the description that he gives, he really didn't have to. He could have just walked up and said, Lord, there's something wrong with my boy. Can you fix him? Now, Jesus knew everything. He knew what was wrong with that boy without the dad telling him. He didn't have to have a description of it. But the Father goes into great detail. It's surprising to me the number of people, and it shouldn't surprise me, it's happened many, many years, the number of people who have difficulties and problems and often hide them, mask them, keep them secret, and try to be discreet about it and not let other people know until they get to the point that they feel like there is no hope and they are helpless and they're overwhelmed, and then they want to tell you the whole story. They'll tell you every detail. I went over and saw, as I was coming back from, I was out of town preaching this week in Quincy, Florida. As I came back through Waycross yesterday, I stopped by and saw Brother Warren Christensen, the pastor of Ware Baptist Church, who's literally dying from cancer right now. We don't know how much more time he's got. They started some aggressive chemo last Wednesday. Many of you know we've been praying for him. Well, they got news last week that all of the treatments they were doing was not working, and he's got it in his colon. He's got cancer in his liver. He's got cancer in his bones. He's got cancer in his lungs. He's got cancer in his lymph nodes. I mean, they are at the end of their rope. Now, they're trusting God. All hope seems to be dashed on them last week. They're going to try this treatment for 3 months and see where it ends up. And we're praying for a miracle. Amen. And I hope y'all will. Think of it. This could be your husband. This could be your dad. This could be your son. This could be your friend. And I guarantee you, Brother Christian's a godly man and cares about living for the Lord. So I want you to pray for him. But my point is, I stopped by to see him, and I don't expect him to tell me the details of his life, just like I just told you some of them. But you know, when you get down to crunch time and it's desperate, all of a sudden you don't care about hiding nothing anymore. My life's about to be over. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. This is what's wrong with me, and this is what's wrong with me. And they begin to list these 15 things that are wrong. When you get desperate like this dad, he didn't have to tell. Now he falls down. He gnashes with his teeth. He foams at the mouth. And he goes into all these deep, matter of fact, sometime when the devil gets in him like that, said he throws himself into the fire. All these details are not necessary. By the way, Jesus isn't the only one hearing the description of everything wrong with this boy. This father don't care. He had reached a point where, I don't care what everybody knows. I don't care what none of y'all think about me and my family. Maybe all y'all know it. And you know that everything's falling apart in my family. We're just about to bust up because I have all these problems with my son. But I don't care. Lord, I don't care what anybody hears. We got a problem. Will you help us? What a concern this daddy had. No shame at all. A second thing I would jump to real quick here. By the way, Luke's gospel tells us this was his only son. Matthew's gospel tells us that when he came to Jesus that the father fell down and knelt. Listen, pride's out the window. I don't care who sees me. I don't care what anybody knows. I need some help. Concern number two, I'd have you to look at the cry that the daddy makes. Now you read that word cried in verse number 24. It says, straightway the father of the child cried out and said, "Lord, I believe." But his cry began before that. Look back in verse number 22. And he's telling Jesus, he said, "And oft times it hath cast him," this demon spirit that was in the boy, "cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have mercy or have compassion on us and help us." I think the cry starts there and it just gets louder, more pronounced as time goes by. And I see this dad crying out in a unique way. He said, "If thou canst do anything, help us." He's crying out to Jesus out of pure misery that he's going through. His heart, his soul, his mind, his emotions, everything about him on the inside is all wrapped up and probably in 100 knots because he doesn't have any hope. He doesn't have anywhere to turn. And out of that misery, he just screams out, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us." I thought that was interesting to us, instead of "have compassion on him." I think it's this: Lord, this has affected all of us. His mama. Now, I'm just speculating. I don't know if the mama's even alive. But if she is, I bet it affected her. And she don't need to be forgotten. She needs Jesus too. Maybe there's a brother or sister back home, except we know that this is an only child. But there are probably other family members, maybe some grandparents, like are here today. And maybe you just see something wrong. You want some help there. And the idea is, I don't want you just help him. Help all of us. We all need you. The misery had crept beyond just the effect and impact on a child. It's affecting everybody. And to me, that's significant. And I see him when he cries out, that verse number 22, where it's, "If thou canst do anything," he'll take anything, "have compassion." That word compassion is real close cousins to the word mercy. It's the idea, would you please show some sympathy to us? There's a song we sing about going to Jesus, and it calls him the sympathizing Jesus. I don't know if all other people around you would sympathize with your situation. You probably told people about the difficulties you do go through, and some people don't act like they even care. You know, some people won't even listen to you. They just, it's one ear and out the other. You work beside them maybe all the time, but they don't really pay a whole lot of attention to the misery that you're going through. But I can assure you of this, even if the preacher won't listen, and even if all your Christian brothers and sisters won't, maybe even your family members have stopped listening to you, but I guarantee you, you can write this down in stone, the Lord Jesus Christ will have compassion. He will love you. He will care. He will show mercy. And when this man says, "Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us." This Savior, now listen to me, you got to think for a minute. This was not a chance encounter. Well, this man was walking along with his young'un, Jesus walking along with a crowd, and they just bumped into one another. Not on your life. I believe before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ knew there'd be a day when a man would have a son possessed of the devil and they'd bump into each other. What looks like coincidence, like somebody said, coincidence is when God decides to be anonymous. He just doesn't tell you he done it, and you think it was a coincidence. But there are no coinky-dinky, as far as I'm concerned. It's providential paths that cross with one another. And this father and this son, though setting out to meet Jesus, had no idea that Jesus had planned it all these many years of that boy growing up. Now, I'm sure you're going to be like the skeptics. Well, how come he didn't do it sooner? Why don't you just shut up and be thankful that he did show up? A lot of people want to complain about how God does it, when God does it, what God does, rather than just being thankful that he did it. Maybe you're young and didn't get saved when he was 17. Well, I wish the Lord had saved him at 7, and you gripe and complain about why it didn't happen previous. Just be glad God did it. When the Lord shows compassion, don't question how he did it. Just be grateful to God that he showed compassion to you. You reckon this father deserved it? It'd be a mistake on all of our parts to think this daddy got this because he deserved it. Because that would make us think this: I can't get that kind of help until I deserve it. Can you write this down? You will never deserve it. I will never deserve it. If we got what we deserve, why, we'd be in hell today. Our names would not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When the roll is called up yonder, we would not be mentioned. It's not about deserving. It's about the Lord showing compassion on people that don't deserve it. So I see this man crying out, wringing his voice out to God about the misery. And of course, he went to the right person. He said, if thou canst do it. He's not asking a man to do it. He's asking the very Son of God to do it. Third thing, and I'll be done, is there is also a confessions made. You might could speak of it as a confident confession, because this man says it so appropriately. I notice in verse number, would you look with me now at verse number 24. Now Jesus said in verse 23, if thou canst believe all things. He had said anything. Jesus said all things. All things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. Boy, there's some compassion, isn't it? He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. What a marvelous, confident confession given by this daddy. I've got great respect for him. The more I read the story, the more I study it, the more I preach from it, the more I'm amazed at the great thing that he said. First of all, there's a full admission. He said, I believe. What a great thing to say, I believe. Now, I realize that he was quick enough to say something else and affirm the fact that he didn't have total faith. He's not bragging, Lord, I believe. Well, if anybody believes, I believe. In this day and age we're living in, if somebody says they believe, they got to brag about it. They say they got faith, they got to tell how great the faith is, how wonderful they've stood for the Lord, as if, again, we're going to impress him, and therefore he will act on our behalf. It's not about impressing God. It's about realizing that God is already concerned and caring for you. Long before you ever even noticed your problem, the Lord knew your problem. Long before you ever saw a boy or a daughter in need, the Lord saw that need and is willing to help you and meet you there. And he affirms that unbelief. He's willing to admit, I believe, but also willing to affirm the fact that he doesn't have great faith. I like this guy. I'm a lot like him. I've got faith. I don't feel like I got enough. Anybody else like that here today? Maybe I'm not the only daddy that feels this way. I've got faith, believe that God can do miracles, but I don't have the faith that gets one done tomorrow necessarily. Man, I want to trust God. I mean, I do the best I know how, but I fall so far short. I don't quite measure up. And sometimes I feel like such a failure that I'm not the daddy, I'm not the husband, I'm not the leader that I should be. I'm not steering and guiding my family like I should. I'm not making good decisions. I'm not making the best ones. And in that failure feeling, sometimes it'd be easy just to give up. But I'm here to tell you today, this daddy's just like us. Just like you and just like me. He ain't all he ought to be. Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And then I see that he's quick to associate the whole thing with the Lord. I like that. That seems to stand out to me as very unique and special. I mean, this is a daddy who, though he knows he's not what he should be, he's willing to rely upon God to help his situation. Now, though the message this morning is primarily to daddies, I sure hope you mamas and sons and daughters and aunts and uncles can make the application to you. It'd still be good, no matter what relation you have in a family, be you mom or dad or son or daughter, it'd still be good to have a concern for your family that reaches out to God. That you would have a cry every now and then, that something would come from your heart and soul deep down inside and say, Lord, we need you. If you can do anything, Lord, we need you to do anything, something, all things, but help us. And I guess that's probably the significant two words that stand out to me in verse number 22 and also verse number 24, where he says, help. I got to have some help. Lord, we need you. If you don't help us, we will not make it. And I see that for dads, moms, and families. Let me close with this. I know you're probably thinking that if this daddy runs to God and cries out to God and relies on God, everything ought to work out. Well, it did in this case. And I'm praising God that it did. The boy, he looked dead. Looked like it wasn't going to get no better. Looked like it got worse. But in the end, it did get better. I don't know if you're aware, but in this day and age we're living in, there are a whole lot of fathers and mothers that sometimes get on the outs of one another and go through breakups, and then all of a sudden there's a custody battle. And these things take place where somebody's fighting for the custody. And there was back in the day when I was coming up, it seemed like the dad almost never got custody. But sometimes in this modern age, and I don't know what the reasons are. You can figure those out for yourself. It seems like sometimes there's a custody case in which the dad goes to fight for the children, and the dad actually wins and gets the custody of the children. Now, I can't guarantee you that every dad that's ever gone for custody or ever will is going to win, but I can assure you this. If you as a father are willing to show a concern for your children to run to Jesus and move in the right direction, and you'll cry out to God and you'll put your confidence faithfully in the Lord that God's going to see you through, no matter what happened in the court case with custody, you'll still be a daddy that wins. And I don't know about you, but I, along with that song that PJ sang earlier, I know our children, no matter how old we get, as long as we're here on this earth, they're going to be looking up to us in some regard. And though we fail them miserably many times, we all still have a desire, I think, that we want to be more like Him because they want to be more like us. That's the daddy that wins. So no matter what you may feel like today, you can be a daddy that wins if you'll just go to Jesus like this dad did. Let's pray. Let's stand quietly to our feet. Our Father, thank You today for Your Word. For this message You laid on my heart, and I pray that You would sink it deep into the hearts of Your people. Help us as daddies that fail so miserably and we feel like losers many times. Thank You that You've given us some promises and some great help in Your Word so we can win. And we want to win. We want to win as husbands and daddies and granddaddies, and we want to come out on the winning side so those that look to us will follow a good man in the right direction. Help us. Bless us. Lord, if there's one here today that's lost, be they male or female, mom or dad or whoever, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. And I pray that You deal with our Father's hearts. Help us draw back to You. Help us to cry out to You with all of our soul that Thou wouldest have compassion on us. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.